So let's talk about some of the root causes of PANS. I want to start with the microbiome, because this is probably the most important root cause of PANS, pandas, autism, any of these conditions. The human microbiome, which is all the microbes in and around our body, but especially in the gastrointestinal system, this is massively important for every kind of new chronic health condition that we're seeing in our kids, and neurobehavioral, neuroinflammatory conditions. So what that basically means is that the microbes in our gut, they're supposed to be diverse. Like you think about like a rich garden with different kinds of soils and plants and animals and microbes, and you know, it's a rich, diverse ecology. Our guts really are supposed to be like that too. There's supposed to be diversity. There's supposed to be many different types of bacteria and yeast and viruses even are in our microbiome. And so when that gets out of whack, typically through antibiotics or proton pump inhibitors, which are the reflux medications, or hormone and steroid medication. So for instance, if a child has asthma and they take an asthma inhaler, that disrupts the gut bacteria, and that a diet high in sugar, inflammatory oils, chemicals, you know, like pesticides on food, glyphosate, these things all affect the gut bacteria. So it's cumulative, right? So, you know, the more toxic stuff you eat, the more antibiotics you take, the worse that gut dysbiosis is. Gut dysbiosis just means an imbalance in the bacteria and in the gut. So gut dysbiosis is probably one of the most important features of all of these conditions, especially in PANS and pandas. When you see a kid who gets this diagnosis, typically if you did a stool sample or you go in and you, you know, measure what's in their gut, it's usually not in balance. It's usually not as diverse as it should be. Second major feature I talked about already is infections. So again, like the strep, the Lyme. Another one I didn't mention yet, which is hugely important, is mold. And sometimes mold is a trigger for these kids. So, you know, they're in a moldy home and it didn't bother them until that blood-brain barrier breach, until that gut disruption. And then all of a sudden that mold becomes a really big problem because it gets into the neurotissue. Nutrient deficiencies. This is one that is ubiquitous in American society. Most kids, if you test them, have nutritional deficiencies, even if you think they're eating a really great diet. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, it has to do with sort of the depletion of minerals in our soil. It has to do with the processing of food and how that reduces the nutrient density of our foods. It has to do with the fact that most Americans eat processed instead of whole foods. So nutrient deficiencies, the ones that are really common, vitamin D. And that's because we don't go outside. You know, that like human beings used to live outside all the time. And now we live indoors. And so we don't get vitamin D from the sun. Zinc is massively important in these conditions. Zinc deficiencies, iron, magnesium, essential fatty acids. You know, the list goes on. So this is a really important area where kids are deficient and makes them vulnerable. And then the dysregulation of the autonomic nervous system. This is how kids get stuck in PANS, right? Like the body is incredibly intelligent and it wants to reestablish balance all the time. Like that's what it drives to. But these kids with these conditions, they get stuck in this cycle of, you know, incredible stress. I mean, you saw that video with Parker. That kid's body is just in this cycle of fight or flight. He never has the opportunity to sort of rest. And that's in the nervous system, there's kind of like a switch. You're either in parasympathetic or sympathetic state. And so a lot of these kids are permanently in the sympathetic state, which is fight or flight. So you have to be in a state of parasympathetic, rest and digest, rest and repair, in order for all of that, you know, repair to happen to the brain, for the body to reestablish order. And so if you cannot get your body into that, you know, parasympathetic state, you're never going to have the opportunity to heal. So those are some of the main features of what's going on. This is not an exhaustive list. Sometimes there's more going on. And as an example, sometimes there's a really big emotional piece for kids, and that is what keeps them in a sympathetic state. Or the emotional piece is what opens up the blood-brain barrier. So there can be other components, but these are really the biggies. And, you know, I mentioned how big and important the gut microbiome is. And I want to spend just a minute talking about that, because I cannot overstate how important this is to the treatment and recovery of kids impacted with these conditions, because the microbiome is so central to immune function in our bodies. So here's a graphic depiction of all the things that the microbiome is responsible for. It's not all the things. The microbiome is responsible for many, many more functions in our body, but these are some big ones. And so I think the most important ones that I want to highlight are that, like, your microbiome, microbes in your gut are important for helping you digest and extract nutrients from your food. They help actually make their own kinds of vitamins, like certain B vitamins are made by the bacteria. So if you don't have the bacteria there, you can't get those microbes, those nutrients into your body. The microbes actually create a barrier to protect you from different infectious agents getting into your circulatory system. So they almost provide like a carpet of protection. They help regulate the immune system. So your immune system can be turned on or turned off by these microbes. So if you think about these kids who are in a constant state of like autoimmunity and this like revved up immune system, their immune system is not being regulated by those microbes. The immune system is not being shut off by the microbes, sometimes because they're missing. And why are they missing? You know, again, think back to the chemicals, antibiotics, and the other things that wiped out these good gut bacteria that we have. Another really key feature of the microbiome that I just want to touch on is detoxification. Microbes in your gut actually help you detoxify toxins as they come in through your mouth. And you excrete them from your body when you have good, robust gut bacteria. So things like mercury or lead or cadmium, these kinds of known toxins to your body, the microbes actually help bring them out of your body. So if you don't have the right balance of microbes, you're not going to be able to detoxify. And the last thing I'll mention of really profound importance is the role in the development of neurotransmitters. So for instance, serotonin, which we know is so important for mood, behavior, and sleep. And again, think about these conditions and how many problems these kids have with mood, behavior, and sleep. If you don't have the right balance of microbes in your gut, you're not going to produce the serotonin. 90% of the serotonin that you use, which is a neurotransmitter, again, for regulating all these things. If you don't have the right balance of microbes, you're not going to produce the serotonin that you need to regulate mood, behavior, sleep. So I cannot emphasize enough the role of all of these microbes. So again, this is just some of the really key portions. One last piece, which I didn't mention, is that if the microbes are out of balance, it impacts the function of the gastrointestinal tract. In other words, like, we don't really think a lot about it. The food goes in and, you know, we excrete stool, but what happens in between? And so a lot of problems begin when there's constipation, or diarrhea, or, you know, there's no proper function of that, you know, that digestion and the waste products moving out. And that becomes exacerbated or worse if you don't have a good balance of diverse microbes in your gut. So it's another really important feature of the microbiome and what the microbiome does. One of the things I also want to highlight about the microbiome is that when you have that, I was describing that kind of carpet that protects the gastrointestinal tract, it keeps toxins out, it keeps various types of infectious microbes out. When you get a breakdown in that carpet of protection of good microbes, you can get something called leaky gut, sort of a colloquial term for what a physician might call intestinal hyperpermeability, which means things are getting into the circulatory system, which is what this little graphic here is depicting. Things are getting into the circulatory system that are not supposed to. And interestingly, you commonly see if you have a leaky gut, you also have a leaky brain. So you can imagine what I mean by leaky brain. That's a breakdown in the blood-brain barrier. There are these things called tight junctions, which keep the epithelial cells close and tight, and again, providing this protective barrier. And when you get a breakdown in the gut, you can also get a breakdown in the tight junctions and the blood-brain barrier. So these two things, the gut and the brain, are like so tightly intertwined. And so if you have gut dysbiosis, chances are you might also have leaky brain. And that is, again, going back to blood-brain barrier, a breach that we talked about earlier.